And we're so pleased this morning to have Barry Woodward with us. Barry's been a great friend to us. He's been here a couple of years on the run now. This is Barry's third visit here, and I think each time we've seen great things. God do great things. And so I'm so excited for what Barry has got to say to us today. So Brian's prayed for you already, Barry, so come and join us. You're so welcome to be here today. Thank you for travelling all the way from Manchester to be with us today as well.
Nice to see you, Or should I say, nice 2 meters, 2 meters, nice. If you'd been near that nurse in that corridor that time, you'd have heard what she said. 3 days before, I'd got nicked in town. It was a Friday. I always got nicked on a Friday, which meant I had to wait until Monday to go to court to apply for bail. I was an addict, so you can imagine by the time I got bail, I wasn't feeling well. Ow, my back's aching, ouch, my legs are killing me. Man, I need to get some drugs, sharpish, to get straight. I had 25 quid to my name. I'd put this in my Ben Sherman shirt pocket underneath my jumper. Back then, this would get you a weighed quarter of a gram of heroin. So I walked into Hume and I went round to Ratty's, one of the dealers, to score. If you spotted Ratty in Aldi, you couldn't stop yourself from looking twice, at least twice. It was milk bottle white. He had a cross tattooed between his eyes and he had a face that was shaped like that compared the market maker on the telly. Ratty, it's Barry. He opened the door. Hi, Baz, come in. Mate, if you got any gear, how much do you want? A quarter. I have, but I've not got that much. I've only got about an eighth. I'm waiting for some coming. You can have that if you want, though. Okay, then, I'll have that. So I went into the bedroom, took it, and everything went black. Then when I opened my eyes, everything was blurred and I was dead dizzy. And as I came round a bit, I realized that I was lay on my back on a bed and I was being rushed down a hospital corridor. The lights on the ceiling were bolting past me. Then a nurse's face appeared looking down at me. She had blue eyes and red lipstick on. She looked dead worried. Barry, you came in here hours ago. You were DOA. The paramedics found you in a phone box, dead. Do you know what I did when that bed stopped? Signed myself out and went back round to Ratty's to get the rest of my gear. How crazy is that? But this is where I'd found myself, right in the middle of this struggle. What's been your struggle? It might look like that, but I know for most of you, it doesn't, because you've been down another pathway, so that's where you've had yours. But we've all found ourselves in the middle of a struggle somewhere along the line, though, haven't we? So what can we learn from that place? Let's pay a visit and take a look. The middle of a struggle can be the foreshadow to your trade. Do you like to watch films? I know I do, especially on Saturdays when we're on full lockdown. Good old Netflix, eh? Even if you don't, I'm sure you've seen at least one James Bond film. Come on, confession time. There's always a scene near the start where James Bond meets Q to get his gadgets, isn't there? Then later in the film, you get to see him use them. This is what storytellers of all kinds, not just filmmakers, call foreshadowing. Something goes in there for a moment, then it's brought back later on. It's done with objects, characters, lines of dialogue. And this is like how it can be with us. Because sometimes the experience we gain from the struggles we go through can end up being used for good later on our journeys. So the middle of a struggle can be the foreshadow to your trade. Kev's Scottish, he's proper chirpy with a scar on his left cheek. He was into drugs and gambling until God got busy. He came up to me once at Victory Outreach in Manchester. I'd just finished speaking. If you'd been at the back near that table with my books on, you'd have heard us. Barry, we want to make a donation out to the work that you do. Who do we make the check out to? Make it out to Proclaim Trust, please, Kev. Anyway, why are you doing that? Are you the treasurer here? Well, kind of. I do all the accounting. Kev, have you always been into numbers, mate? No, not really. I learnt about them in the bookies. Check that. Kev was a gambler, scribbling down sums on betting slips, then later on is an accountant who gets paid to do the accounts for a charity. See, the middle of a struggle can be the foreshadow to your trade. Paul killed Christians. He ended up teaching them. Speaking from his own experience, he said in the Bible, "For we know that God causes all things to work together for good for those that know him." Think about your struggle and the hard path that that's taken you on. Listen, that struggle for you could be your greatest asset, because God can take the experience that you gain from it and use it later on your journey. See, the middle of a struggle can be the foreshadow to your trade. That worried looking nurse was looking down at me, "Barry, you were DOA, the paramedics found you in a phone box dead." The middle of a struggle can be the foreshadow to your trade. And apart from that, the middle of a struggle doesn't have to be a permanent location. Raise your hand if you're in the room, if you remember cassette tapes. For those of you who have not raised your hand, a cassette tape is the first version of an MP3. Not long ago, I found some house music and techno music ones. Ones that I'd recorded in my flat when I had my little studio set up. If you'd have popped round for a visit, you'd have seen the mixer, the drum machine, and that synthesizer, and you'd have seen that Roland TB-303. That's what makes the acid sound in acid house and acid techno music. Some of you may know that waka wow sound. It was a decent setup. And I'd sit there for weeks, mesmerized, twiddling knobs, speeding off my head and amphetamine. So you can see why I was dead chuffed when I found these tapes. One of them is called Up Tempo. You can't really call it a mixtape because it's just one long track. Man, you should hear it bombing it along. Some of you know that electronic dance tracks have structures with intros, build-ups, breaks, and outros. Well, this one doesn't have any structure. It's just one long continuous drum machine beat with random manic breaks lasting ages. Synced up to that synthesizer and that Roland TB-303. 45 minutes long. The whole side of a cassette tape, non-stop. Sounds like a robot on a high-speed train playing around with an Hoover and a dentist drill. Thing is, when I recorded it, I must have thought it sounded really good. Otherwise, I wouldn't have kept the tape. Can you imagine what the hundreds of others that I recorded that I didn't keep sounded like? This is where I was at. But I'm not in the same place now, though, because God got busy. See, the middle of a struggle doesn't have to be a permanent location. David in the Bible, he often found himself in the middle of some sort of struggle, but he knew how to get through them. He said that God is my shelter and strength and always ready to help in times of trouble. Are you in the middle of something? Are you in that place right now? Listen, you don't need to stay there, because God's always ready to help. He can get busy in your situation, but you need to give him consent. Listen, the middle of a struggle doesn't have to be a permanent location. That worried-looking nurse was looking down at me, Barry, you were DOA. The paramedics found you in a phone box, dead. The middle of a struggle can be the foreshadow to your trade. The middle of a struggle doesn't have to be a permanent location. And the middle of a struggle is a place where the unexpected can happen. If you met Jamie, you'd probably end up having to duck. He's short, stocky, and criminality runs in his family. He's the kind of guy that would never hit a man with glasses, but he would hit him with a baseball bat. Have you got the picture? I first met him when he was doing a 4-year prison sentence. I was speaking at a community event once, and he was there, so I sat at the same table as him. Good to see you, mate. Good to see you, Baz. When did you get out? I got out about 4 months ago. I got my parole, didn't I? Sorted. How have you been doing anyway? I've been doing really good, thanks, Baz. I feel like I've finally started to sort my life out. Nice one, mate. How did that come about? It was in that chapel that time. Do you know when I met you? You didn't know it, but I'd only gone in there thinking I was buying some drugs from one of the lads on another wing. I wasn't there to listen to you. Thank you very much. But I think the big man upstairs had something else lined up for me, because then you said something that resonated with me. And it was that set me off on this path. It was mental, Barry. It just came right out of the blue. See, the middle of a struggle can be a place where the unexpected can happen. Isaiah in Bible times tells us that God's thoughts are not our thoughts, and neither are his ways our ways. See, God sometimes actions the unexpected, and he often does it when we're in the middle of a struggle. What about you? What were you thinking when you came in here? Or what was you thinking when you turned on your computer this morning, if you're watching at home? Maybe I've said something that's resonated with you. Listen, it could be that God's got something lined up for you that's out of the blue. Same as Jamie. Who knows? See, the middle of a struggle is a place where the unexpected can happen. That worried-looking nurse was looking down at me. Barry, you were DOA. The paramedics found you in a phone box, dead. The middle of a struggle can be the foreshadow to your trade. The middle of a struggle doesn't have to be a permanent location. The middle of a struggle is a place where the unexpected can happen. And to top those off, the middle of a struggle is a place where you can start to rewrite your headlines. You should have seen Lisa's face when I told her what had happened. Lisa had blonde hair and blue eyes, and she had a nose pierced. That was before body piercing got popular. We were together for a century, a mad one at that. And if you want to read how we got together, you can actually read it in my book, the story, and it just so happens there's some that on the table at the back there. Just so happens. Just to mention, I know I mentioned this last year, but for those of you that wasn't here, when my book Once an Addict came out in 2007, we started a project to give a copy of that book to every prisoner in the United Kingdom. Right now, there's 84,000 prisoners behind bars in the UK. 84,000 prisoners. We've sent nearly 50,000 copies of that book out free of charge. to prisoners. And there's one small way you can support that. For every one copy you buy, we then send two into prisons on your behalf. So you buy one, and then you're going to give two away to prisoners. So we use the profit from that book to get books into prisons, into prisoners' hands for free. The last pad that we had, me and Lisa, was on a council estate called Darnhill. Our offices are just a few minutes away, so I still drive through that estate. Once, I was driving up the bottom road, and there was somebody on the other side walking down the path. And I thought, do you know, from behind, that looks like Lisa's walk. And then as I got closer, that is Lisa. So I pulled the car up to the curb, dead slow behind her. Wound my window down. Lisa, is that you, Barry? Yeah. Well, blankety blank, blankety blank, blankety blank, blank, blank. Fancy seeing you. Must be going on 15 years now, is it? 15 years, something like that. I knew you'd come back though, Barry. Do you want to come round to mine for a brew? Yeah, okay then, get in. She gets in. Just drive up here. I live down that little cul-de-sac now, do you know, near the bus stop at the end. You should have seen her when we got to her street. She was on a mission. It's great living down here, Barry. You can get your weed from the house there. You can get your speed from this house over here. You can get your heroin from them flats just down there. She was like an Amsterdam drug tour guide on crack. Because she thought I'd come back. Her flat was on the first floor in this little block. If you'd been there, you'd have seen her show me round. This is my little kitchen, Barry, that the council's just done up for me. This is my bathroom. This is the bedroom. I said, Barry, this is the bedroom. There's the bed. Barry, there's the bed. Just making sure that I knew there's enough room for me. This is my little living room. Sit down, Baz. We get chatting about old times, and she starts to make a spliff. Do you remember when I used to come and visit you in prison, Barry? Do you remember when I started to hear those voices? Do you remember when we lived in that squat opposite the Russell Club in Hume that had a big tree in the living room? And do you remember when you did that snatch that time, allegedly? And you came back with that leather knife safe bag and you were trying to open it with the bread knives out of the drawer and you kept breaking them. Then she lit the spliff. Like a bunch of skunks just started a spray fight. We carried on with our trip down memory lane. And she goes, yeah, Baz. No, you're all right, love. I don't smoke anymore. What do you mean you don't smoke? No, I don't. I don't even smoke cigs. I stopped when I become a Christian. What, you a Christian? How did that happen? Well, it wasn't long after we split. I got invited to church, so I went. And this guy prayed for me. And it was like a light came on. Then the voices went. I came off the drugs. I went off to college. I set up a charity. I got married. I've even wrote a book that's become a bestseller. It's just been one thing after another, Lise. But it all started that day. That look on her face when I told her about rewriting my headlines was priceless. Who'd have thought you doing that? You're in such a bad place. Good on you. But are you sure you don't want some of this? I left just after that because I didn't want to keep her hopes up. See you, Lisa. See you, Barry. You know where I am if you need me. See, the middle of a struggle is a place where you can start to rewrite your headlines. Maybe you're in this room and you need to start rewriting yours. Maybe you're watching online and you need to start to rewrite your headlines. But my question to you is, do you want to? Listen, 2,000 years ago, 2,000 miles away, God became a man. His name is Jesus. Jesus is God with skin on. And he came to this earth and he was tempted just like you, but he resisted temptation. Then at the age of 33, they nailed him to a cross. He found himself in the middle of a struggle. But he was in that place for you though, because he died on that cross to pay the price for your faults, for your flaws and for your failures. He died on that cross so that he can wipe your slate clean and to give you the option of rewriting your headlines. That guy in the Bible, David, again said this: God rewrote the text of my life when I opened the book of my heart to him. See, when you give God consent to come in, he starts to rewrite your headlines. He flips your script. Listen, the middle of a struggle is a place where you can start to rewrite your headlines, but you need to give God consent to come in. And that's when he gets busy. A mate of mine got his car broken into. Whoever did it used a device to relay the signal from his car key fob to another device that they used to open his door. It's a method that's been given the term relay theft. Have you heard of it? Interesting, isn't it? Car thieves have come a long way since my day. I just used a brick. Do you know God will never try to get through your door that way? In fact, he tells us his method in the Bible. He says that I stand at the door and knock. And if anybody hears me and opens the door, I will come in. You see, God's not a relay thief. Because he stands and he waits for you to open the door. He waits for you to give him consent to come in. And when you give him consent to come in, that's when he gets busy and he starts to rewrite your headlines. See, the middle of a struggle is a place where you can start to rewrite your headlines. That worried-looking nurse was looking down at me. Barry, you were DOA. The paramedics found you in a phone box, dead. That night, I signed myself out and went back round to Ratty's to get the rest of my gear. Let's land this now back at Ratty's flat. I didn't tell you that he wasn't happy to see me, did I? Ratty, it's Barry. You should have seen how mad he was when he opened the door. He was so angry that cross between his eyes was spread across his nose. What do you want? Come for the rest of my gear, you cheeky blankety blank, blankety blank, blankety blank, blank blank thing. What do you mean? Well, when you came round here before, you didn't even have any money. Of course I had some money, Ratty. It was here, in my shirt pocket, underneath my jumper. Oh, on a side note, this place that I was in was a foreshadow to my trade. That wasn't in there before. It was, Ratty. I'd put it in there earlier. No, you didn't, because me and Junkie Jerry from upstairs searched you before we carried you down to the phone box and left you there dead. It was there, Ratty. He still didn't believe me. So I kept the 25 quid and I went somewhere else to score. The middle of a struggle. This was me in mine. But it's a place where we've all been. Eh? Listen up. Listen up. Listen up. Whether you're watching online or whether you're in this room, right now, God is stood outside your life. He's ready to get busy. He's ready to start rewriting your headlines, but he needs your consent. What are you going to do? I'm going to invite two groups of people to pray a prayer with me, whether you're watching online or you're in this room. The first group are those people, you've never prayed a prayer before. You've never given God consent to come in. It could be that you're attending church or you're sat with someone at home watching this service or in this service because your family members do it and you come to appease them, or you're an husband and you're coming to please your wife, or you're there, or the other way around. Listen, what about you? There comes a time when you need to make a decision. Are you going to let God in, or are you going to keep him locked out? He stood outside your life. So the first group of people are those people, you've never prayed a prayer before, you've never given God consent to come in. And the second group of people, whether you're watching online or you're in this room, you've started your Christian journey, you've prayed a prayer at some point in the past, but you know that right now, for whatever reason, you're not living how God wants you to live. Listen, the Bible says there's no condemnation for you. We're under grace. But I want to say to that second group, pray this prayer, get back on track. And God will forgive and forget. And then you can crack on with the rest of your Christian journey. So they're the two groups who are going to pray this prayer with me. And there's a third group. That's everybody else in the room. And if you're at home watching online, it could be that somebody's sat with you right now. And they're going to be praying this prayer for the first time or for the second time. So can you pray this prayer with them to encourage them as well? So all three groups, repeat after me, phrase by phrase. Dear God, I come to you today and I admit that I'm not perfect. God, I ask that you forgive me for all my faults, for all my flaws, and for all my failures. God, I ask that you wipe my slate clean, and from this day on, you get busy in my situation, rewriting my headlines. Because today, I'm saying I want to change my location. While the heads are bowed in this room, if you've prayed that prayer while in this room and you're part of the first group or the second group, can you just raise your hand so I can see it, please? Got one over here. Two people. Anybody else? Put your hands down. Thank you. There might be a few more of you, so I'm just going to give you 5 extra seconds. If you've prayed that prayer, you're part of the first group or the second group. We've got 2 people raise their hands already. You don't need to raise them again. But as I count down 5 seconds, that's just giving anybody else in this room 5 extra seconds to raise their hand. If you've not already raised it. Anybody else? 5. Anybody else? Park your pride outside. 4. Anybody else? 3, 2, 1. If you're watching online, you're watching via Zoom, I want you to send a message, a DM message. There's an option there within your, like your little chat box. There's an option you can DM, direct message to the church and just say, I prayed that prayer, or I prayed. Or if there's somebody in the room with you, you can ask to do that for you. If you're not near the screen or near the computer, get someone to do it for you. Whoever can do that, just say, I prayed. And then someone from the church will be in touch. So there's 2 people. Can we just put your hands up again, please? Because we want to give you one of these little bags, if you don't mind. Yeah, we've got one over here and one over here. Thank you. Okay, usually we'd probably... No, yeah. Usually, what we would do, if it was more people, because obviously there's only a small group here, we would get you to fill the details out in there, but we know, I'm sure people know who you are, so we don't need to do that. But in there, there's a DVD, and there's a booklet called What's Next. You can take that home, you can read it. The DVD you can watch. I explain what you need to do once you've prayed that prayer. And if you're watching online, I will leave some of those packs with Lee, and we will make sure that you get one of those packs as well. Once we know that you've prayed that prayer, once you've DM'd the church, we can make that happen as well. Thank you, Lee.